Okay, here we go. All right, starting over, redo. 2 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey the word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand, which is a sign of every epistle. So I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. And this morning, as noted in your bulletin, we have a guest speaker. He's from the Gideon's International, Colonel Roger Mitchell. He comes to us from Princeton, Kentucky. He's a native Kentuckian. As I was sharing with him a little while earlier, one time several years ago, Ryan's mother-in-law asked him what our heritage was, and Ryan didn't know. He called me and he says, Where's our family from? Where's our people from? I said, we're Kentuckians. So, if you would, welcome Brother or Colonel Roger Mitchell to the podium this morning, please.
Okay, I'm not chewing gum either. Is this one on? Okay, good. All right. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you today? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? We know that the life we live on this earth comes with trial and difficulty. But amidst all the difficulties of our life, the promise that we can hold on to with complete assurance is that if we know Jesus as our Savior, we are heaven bound. And it is the topic of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings me here today. I'm speaking to you this morning on behalf of the Gideons, and in the next few minutes, I want to touch on 3 points. First, I'd like to first address our priorities as Christians. Second, I want to share with you a few brief testimonies that reflect God's saving grace. And then third, I'd like to share with you how the Lord uses prayers and donations from the church, from the body of Christ, to spread his gospel around the world. And it's also my goal to get finished speaking before you get finished listening. As we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for the blessings that you pour upon us. Lord, first and foremost, we thank you for your love and having sent Christ, Lord, to die on Calvary's cross to pay our debt of sin. Father, we know that there's nothing that we can do to earn this, Father, but you give this to us by your grace and your love. Father, we thank you for the church, Lord, and for the privilege you give us to serve you. And we pray daily, Father, that you open our eyes to the world around us, that we may look at it through your eyes, Father, and not our own. You've told us the fields are white unto harvest, and we pray that you guide us and give us the courage and your words to speak to the lost world around us. I pray your blessings, Father, upon this church, upon its staff, Father, upon all those who labor here for you. Forgive us when we fail you and guide us in all that we do. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Nearly every day you and I encounter matters of priority, matters of choice. You being here this morning was a choice. So many other people in Todd County and in Western Kentucky are someplace other than the Lord's house today. But you being here, this choice reflects your priorities. We have to pay our bills, we have to make a living, but the way that you and I spend the balance of our time and our talent and our resources, those choices we make reflect our priorities. Life is a matter of choice, and the quality of our living on this earth is determined by the things that you and I make a priority. Now, we're also here but a twinkling of an eye in relation to God's provision for eternity, but Scripture tells us that one day we'll all stand before our Creator to have our lives weighed for the things that we did or did not do, for our choices, for our priorities. Now, while salvation is by grace through faith, we should all strive to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," but that we have to earn. And Scripture talks about fruits of the Spirit. It talks about works, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But nearly every day we also see people who've claimed to have found the answers to many of the issues of life. I think you know what I'm talking about. When we turn on the TV, pick up a magazine or newspaper, turn on the radio, we're bombarded with advertising. We're bombarded with people who want to sell us their advice on how to deal with our relationships, finances, weight loss, a whole host of things. But all these
All this advice that people want to sell us has something in common. All these people claim to have found it through their own wisdom and reasoning. But what does Scripture tell us? In Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, we are told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, Paul reminds us, has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Well, as Christians, God gives us a knowledge and an understanding that only comes by His saving grace, and He tells us His priorities for our lives. As we look in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, there we find a passage where Christ tells us not to worry about the things of this world, what we'll eat or drink or what we'll wear. He even references the lilies of the field. He said they're adorned more splendidly than Solomon ever was, yet they neither spin nor toil, yet they're here today and gone tomorrow. But in verse 33 of chapter 6, Christ tells us, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, as we make Him our Savior and as we make Him our priority, He tells us to share the good news with other people. The Gospel of Matthew ends with a passage that we refer to as the Great Commission. And as we study it, it truly is a Great Commission. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, Christ tells us, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Pause for a minute and look at what Christ tells us to do there. He says, go and make and teach and baptize. All throughout Scripture, we're reminded that action is part of a Christian's life. In James chapter 1, verse 22, Jesus' brother tells us, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. The King James Version is, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So if we truly are believers, we take action. Now, James also makes it very clear that these actions that we take are not what earns us salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith, but if we truly are a Christian, we have works as an evidence of our faith. Now, what does that look like in the life of you and I? Well, part of it you've got written on this piece of paper right here in front of me, your church covenant. We're to love the Lord. We're to obey His word. Christ was once asked, what is the greatest commandment? And His answer is recorded in both Mark and Matthew. He says to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Christ emphasized the second portion of that in the upper room the night He was arrested. He told His apostles, a new commandment I give you. You're to love one another as I have loved you. And if you love one another as I have loved you, by this all men will know that you're my disciples. So we're to love one another. We're to employ our spiritual gifts for the edification of this church. We're to come into His house and lift His name up in song and praise. We're to study His word. We're to pray for one another as we've done today. And the Lord also wants us to give. And I'd like now to share with you how the Lord uses our giving to accomplish His purpose. The first testimony comes from Brazil. In 2011, Gideons were distributing Scripture in Brazil. They were outside a very busy entrance to a major university, and they were handing out free copies of God's Word like this one. And the distribution was going well, except one young man passed by the group, saw that they were handing out something, and he came up to them. But when he realized they were handing out God's Word, he became angry with them, to the point of even arguing and cursing at them. And he said, you know what you can do with these books? He said, you can throw them away just like I'm going to do with this one. And so the young man took a Bible and threw it, and it disappeared onto the roof of a nearby building, and he stormed off. Well, the rest of the distribution went well, but near the end of the day, as they gathered their boxes getting ready to leave, they see a young man walking down the street toward them. He's dressed in workman's clothes, and he has what appears to be roofing tar on him, but he's carrying something. And he walks up to the Gideons, and he said, I was on the roof of that building today, and as I worked, I was planning to take my life because my life is such a wreck. He said, but a miracle happened. He said, God hit me in the head with this book. We don't make this up. This truly happened. This young man said, I see in the back of the book I can have eternal life. Please, sir, tell me how. Well, that day Luis became our brother in Christ. Now, what that one young man planned for evil, God turned to good. We don't know what He'll do with each copy of His word that is handed out in His name, but He does, and He promises that it will not return void. We receive incredible and inspiring testimonies like Luis's on a regular basis, and that's why we're involved in this ministry. It's to see a life turn to Christ after having been given a Bible or a New Testament, Bibles that you help provide. Now, for many of you, when you hear the name Gideon, you probably think of the Bibles that bear the Gideon emblem that you regularly see in hotels or motels. Now, this is certainly an important and highly recognizable part of our ministry, but because of the prayers and contributions of the churches over decades, the Gideons are so much more. We place Bibles in schools, colleges, nursing homes, hospitals. We hand them out in prisons and jails. We give them to fire, police, and medical personnel, as well as our military, serving both at home and abroad. Now, this is a Gideon Testament that I was given in September of 1983 when I joined the Marine Corps. I know your bulletin says Army, but I'm a Marine. There's a bit of difference. But anyway, I was given this. But we're all in the Lord's Army now. I was given this testament when I was given when I joined the Marine Corps in September of 1983. And this is a testament that my father was given in September of 1941 that he carried throughout North Africa, Italy, anyway, the remainder of the war. Again, we don't know what God will do with each copy of his word, but he does, and he promises that it will not return void. The Gideons are indeed an extended missionary arm of the church. All of our members come from within the body of Christ. The money comes from within the body of Christ. Today, we're organized in 201 countries, territories, and possessions around the world. And today, we distribute the gospel message in 107 different languages. Last year alone, we handed out 82.5 million copies of God's word. Since we began distributing scripture, we've handed out more than 2.2 billion. It took us 93 years to hand out the first billion, but only 14 years to hand out the second billion. What does that tell us? This isn't a task of man, but it is a work of God. When you and I, we talked about this in Sunday school this morning. We look at the world around us. We look at the news, and we can kind of get depressed. But it is at that time we would do well to remember what the Lord tells us in Psalms 46:10, and that's, be still and know that I am God. God is in control, and it's his desire that his word be distributed, and it is. Does God really need to use mankind to hand out his word? Can we pause and think about it? Absolutely not. The Creator who spoke this world into existence could get his word to us in any manner that he chooses, but he chooses to use us. He chooses to use the body of Christ, fellow believers, to witness to one another, to neighbors, to friends, to family, to complete strangers, and to hand out his word. And that's where we come in. As an extended missionary arm of the church, it is our desire to see the lost world around us come to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With your contributions, we deliver God's word by the millions to the world around us, to people who would otherwise not have a copy of God's word. How many of you have more than one Bible at home? Researchers tell us the average Christian household has 7 copies of God's word, yet we know there's people today who don't know when they're going to get to eat again. We're told today the world's population exceeds 7.2 billion. There's 2 billion that lives off less than $2 a day. There's another billion that lives off less than $1 a day. Those who don't know when they'll eat again or when they're going to get to feed their family again will never have the means to buy a copy of God's word. They'll only have one if it's given to them. Now, the following is a testimony from a Gideon visit to a small country in Southeast Africa called Malawi. There, the Gideons had made distributions at 5 schools. They had one more area on their list, but all the kids in this whole area were going to have to come into one district office, or they'd have to wait to the next year to get a New Testament. So the next day, they make the long and difficult journey out there, and when they arrive, there's no children there. Matter of fact, there's no kids there for a couple of hours, and then they start showing up in ones and twos, and then scores, and then hundreds. And as the kids gathered around them, one of the teachers asked if they mind waiting another half hour while the kids rested. They thought it a bit odd, but they agreed. And as the kids rested around them, one of the teachers, this same teacher, also shared with them that these young boys and girls had left their homes at 3 in the morning to get there by 9:30. She also said that they sang songs as they walked to keep wild animals, predators, at bay. And by the time they would return home that evening, they would have walked more than 40 miles just to get a copy of God's word like this. Now, we have no concept of that here in our country. How many of you would let your child or grandchild walk anywhere like that to get anything? But there they do. So when people around the world are willing to go to those links to get a copy of God's word, we should do what we can to get them one. Right now, we believe that of the world's population, there's more than 4 billion lost. We believe there's more than 200 million lost people here in America, in our country, and we need your help to reach them. America is now the Gideon's largest mission field. One out of every eight Bibles or New Testaments that we distribute is here at home. We have Gideons from other countries coming here to America to help evangelize what is increasingly becoming a non-Christian nation. As you give to the Gideons, please understand that your local Gideons here in Todd County hand out hundreds of copies of God's Word to all the places that I mentioned before. So as you give, you're not just sending Scripture somewhere else. You're sending it down the road and into your community to reach people for Christ here at home as well. This morning, I ask that you pray for the Gideon ministry and that you pray for three specific needs. One, that there will be a steady flow of funds to meet the ever-growing demand for God's Word around our world. Two, that there will be a steady, that there will be more men join the Gideons to make these distributions both at home and abroad. And three, that these men, women, boys, and girls that receives a copy of God's Word will not only open the Scripture, but open their hearts to Christ as well. Now, if the Lord has touched your heart to give to the Gideons this morning, I ask that you prayerfully consider doing so. As you give to the Gideons, what does your money do? For $1.25, we place a copy of God's Word like this in some man, woman, boy, or girl's hands. For $125, we'll ship a case of these anywhere around the world to people who would otherwise not have a copy of God's Word. Every single penny you give buys Scripture. All the cost of shipping, all the cost of distribution is borne by the Gideons themselves that go to these places to make these distributions. Every penny you give buys God's Word. Now, for $5, we place a copy of God's Word like this in a hotel or motel. And we believe that in the average life of a Bible in a hotel room, it has the ability to reach 2,300 people. Many believe that 2,300 is an optimistic number, but I want to share with you what the Lord tells us in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. There the Lord tells us, as the rain and snow come from heaven and do... Am I still on? Okay, all right. I'll start over. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I thank you for the opportunity to come here today and speak to you on behalf of the Gideons. You can also give to the Gideons at any time throughout the year through the use of our card program. We believe you've got a couple of card racks here in your church. There's no better way to let somebody know that you're thinking of them, you're praying for them, or in memory of someone than to give something as eternal as the Word of God. At the end of this service, we'll have Gideons at the doors with an open Bible. If you wish to give to the Gideons, you can make a check payable to the Gideons International. Again, you can give at any time throughout the year through our card program. I close with one final verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. There we are told, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever.